Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
You're not a real gardener until you've killed lots of plants. If we can treat it as a learning experience, approach it with a bit of curiosity. Okay, why did this happen?
It's not just plants, it's about employment. It's about well-being. It's about skills development.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I am the general manager of Young Urban Farmers. We started off exclusively building raised beds in people's backyards. It has since grown and expanded into container gardens and in-ground gardens for schools and businesses.
Hello, my name is Fred Weingust. I am a project specialist here at RENA. RENA is an organization that provides housing, support, and services to individuals with various abilities. So in 2020, we had locked down a number of our group homes, which meant nobody could go out to shop. So why don't we start thinking about growing at our own locations and starting to grow food? I said, Chris, you got to help me out here. We're going to do something really interesting. Chris helped us get our first one up and running in under a month. The following year, we brought everything together at our mega farm, and we moved from a small experience to a much larger growing experience by bringing the two together.
My philosophy when it comes to gardening is to keep things simple and to give people those successes that they can see right away. The cajia is a sub-irrigated container. There's a false bottom built into the container that separates the 10-liter water reservoir from the approximately 60-liter soil capacity. The reservoir allows the plants to go up to a week between watering, and it allows the plants to grow really big, really healthy. When it comes to watering, you simply fill the reservoir through the tube, and once water comes out the overflow hole, that's your cue to stop.
Having a visual cue for people who have, you know, different abilities was a perfect way of saying, you know, you'll never overwater. They were always worried about doing too much, and it was perfect. It really showed them that they can't ruin it. And when they started to see the plants growing and being successful, the confidence level went up. Going into this year, we have over 850 of these containers deployed within RENA and another 400 containers deployed out into our neighborhood partners. The only really tough thing we had to teach people was staking. And that is, you know, when your tomato plants grow tall or your cucumbers grow tall, then you have to deal with that to give them space to grow vertically. Otherwise, they can become entangled with each other, and you're playing a lot of hide-and-go-seek to try and find the missing cucumber.
One of my favorite parts is seeing the joy and the happiness that comes from growing, harvesting, and eating something that you hands-on had involvement in right from day one. For many people, it comes from planting the seeds to pulling out the radish or picking the peas or picking the tomatoes and eating it fresh from the garden and still warm in the sun.
If you are of the Jewish faith, you have been commanded by God to maintain certain rules of what's called kashrut, of being kosher. A tomato is a tomato, a cucumber is a cucumber, but a kosher leafy green, that's unique. I brought Chris over when we brought the head chef of Meals on Wheels to one of our locations where we were growing leafy greens. And you remember, that was our first harvest. We were cutting. We said, okay, now we're going to take them back to Bernard Patel. And the second that the leafy greens arrived at the door, the kosher supervisor said, stop. It's not coming in. What do you mean it's not coming in? We just grew this. This is great. Says, no, we have an edict that says, I'm sorry, we cannot accept leafy greens that were grown organically. I said, why? And he says, because we have an issue with bugs. And if you're growing outdoor and you're in dirt, we have to go through this whole examination process. And it seems that it's even worse when we're dealing with organic. So we couldn't sell them what we had grown. You can still eat it. It just means it doesn't carry a rabbinical seal. So we looked at that and said, this isn't a problem. This is a challenge. We started exactly a year ago. The container itself landed on March 16th of 2023. We did a custom construction in Winnipeg for it. And as part of that, we also worked with the Rick Hansen Foundation to make sure that the container itself was wheelchair accessible, because some of our individuals, whether they use walkers or wheelchairs, we wanted to make sure that we weren't excluding anybody from participation. And now what we grow in our container after it goes through and is tested by the rabbis to make sure that they are bug-free can now be put into the community, either sold at Sobeys or going directly to restaurants. We found in our second year was how desirable our eggplants were.
I think it goes back to the freshness, knowing that
Absolutely.
Within 24 hours or maybe within a few hours, two or three,
the
four short, hours.
The shortest that we had, I remember, from the time of the test result to the time it was actually on the table, these plants were alive 5 hours earlier, and now they were in the salads of these restaurants. We partnered with somebody who was already in the market for 6 years on kosher leafy greens and said, we can help you expand. At the same time, we would like you to publicize the fact that you are hiring and training RENA individuals to do what needs to be done.
There are many different approaches, the backyard or front yard, a rooftop, a patio, a deck. My approach is really to start with the end in mind. What is the goal? Is it to grow as much in a small amount of space? Is it, like in Fred's example, to engage the community? Sometimes there are turnkey solutions where everything is provided, the container, the soil, the plants. For a few of my customers, I have a full service aspect as well, where my team and I, we help in all aspects from the planting to the harvesting. And for many people, as they become more comfortable, they're able to take on more of that work, to have that hands-on experience to do it themselves. So the market for urban farming, it's really variable. For a school, will have a very different reason of growing than a hotel or a restaurant. There's this whole idea also of different world crops and ethnic crops that might not be readily available at their local supermarkets. One unique plant that I grew a number of years ago was a cinnamon plant. And the really cool thing about that is that the leaves also have a cinnamon flavor. There are those chili heads that want to grow some of like the hottest peppers ever. I want this specific ghost chili pepper or this Trinidad scorpion pepper. I can grow it myself and I can challenge myself to eat it and make my own special hot sauce out of it. I'm also learning things. There was a restaurant that I helped to build a garden for. It was a rooftop with some of these containers. One of the unique herbs that they were requesting, which was brand new to me, was a Japanese herb, and I hope I get the pronunciation correct. The way that I say it is okahijiki. Having that garden, having those same crops, those same vegetables that you remember growing or that your parents or that your grandparents were growing. A neighbor of a customer that I was talking to, he had his Greek olive trees. He had his fig trees that he would lovingly bring inside over the winter, take back outside in the summer, keep them growing year after year as a way to stay connected to the same foods that they were eating. I also think about my grandmother. When my family would go and visit her in Ottawa every summer, the whole backyard was all different Chinese vegetables. And seeing those vegetables growing and then in the soup or in the meals that we would be eating every night was just something that I took a little bit for granted growing up, but I realize is such a key part of building those core memories and those connections to our heritage and to our culture. And it's something that, while that experience with my grandmother was unique to me, it's also not unique in that so much of Canada, so much of our immigration story has these same different threads and these same different stories, just in a slight different iteration. And I see this, for example, looking back at the history of Cabbage Town, where they were growing cabbages to help support and sustain themselves.
The same way you talk about Cabbage Town, I could talk about Kensington Market. That's where my father, after he came back as a survivor of the Holocaust, came to Canada and was living down there, and chickens and vegetables, other things. That's all, you know, that's what Kensington was all about. And many different generations of different waves of immigrants have moved through that community. But there's a lot of commonality over time. It all comes back to food.
One of the things that I see is having a garden forces people to get fresh air, to get sunshine, to get physical activity, to move around, and to have those interactions between the different generations, between the different cultures. No matter your language, no matter your cultural backgrounds, food is something that brings people together.
What did it do for the individual who grew it? Did it give them new confidence that they didn't have before? Does that give them a life skill?
I want to encourage everyone to get started and grow something. It doesn't matter how big or how small. It could be as simple as a jar of sprouts on your kitchen counter. It could be as big as the mega farm project that Fred is working on, or anything in between. Gardening, nurturing those plants, taking a slower approach from our instant gratification life.
I think that's the story for urban gardening. I really think it is the bringing of communities together. You might start homogeneous so you feel comfortable within your own community, and slowly, slowly, slowly you start to expand and bring in many different cultures and many different ages. And that's the key.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.